Scripture prior to Jim's lesson is Galatians 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
That to me is one of the most beautiful verses in the Bible. We even turned it into a song. To be able to say with Paul, I've been crucified with Christ. That's something we all should be able to say. Now, I think the ramifications of that are very deep. When we became Christians, according to Romans 6, we were all crucified with Christ. We were all buried with Christ, but we were all raised with Christ. So he says, nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. Many of you are familiar with the Ironman triathlon. It's an incredible feat of strength and endurance. You start by swimming almost 2.5 miles. And then you get on a bicycle and you ride for 112 miles. And then you get to run for 26.2 miles. It's a long thing to even watch. If I said to you, come to my house this next Saturday, if I invited you over to watch the next Ironman triathlon, many of you might consider it if I, you know, had pizza or some food or something. Or because you're nice, you'd just say, well, sure. But if I asked you, let's train together for the Ironman triathlon and let's do this together, I think the list might dwindle a little from the list of folks that would be willing to watch it with me. The invitation to be Christians is not an invitation to look at the cross of Christ. It is an invitation to be crucified with Christ. That's very different than appreciating the fact that someone would die for you. The fact that someone would die for you for your sins, not for his own, but for your sins, should tug at your heartstrings. It should cause you to say, wow, what an incredible sacrifice. But the invitation to become a Christian is a count the cost sort of thing. In fact, if you'll open your Bible with me to Luke chapter 14, I'd like to read from Luke 14, beginning in verse 25. Down through verse 33. I'm going to read it a little slow so we can all just let it sink in here. This is Jesus speaking. Verse 25. And there went a great multitude with him, and he turned and he said to them, if anyone wants to come to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Let me just pause real quick. We know elsewhere in the Bible we're told to love our neighbor as ourself. It's assumed that we would love ourselves love our neighbor, honor our father and mother. He is making a point here about loving no one even close to the level of love and commitment you would have for Christ. If Christ asks you to do something, you don't say, but my mom's asking me. No. Verse 27, and whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. I don't think Jesus read that book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. And verse 28, for which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he's laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all who see it will begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or, what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has, he cannot be my disciple. Forget about everything you've heard from preachers on the TV, on radio, in Angel Stadium, from behind this pulpit, and just for a moment, listen to these words of Jesus himself telling us what the price tag is of discipleship. Because he puts it right out there, front and center. The price tag is on. I mean, have you ever been to a restaurant where the menu does not have a price tag? If you're like me, you go, Whoa, we could have gone to Golden Corral or something like that. The price tag is right here, and the price tag is great. And the demand is high because it's complete and total surrender. But the reason for the call and the reason you're sitting here today is because as high as the price tag is, it's worth every penny. It's worth every penny. Jesus says, count the cost. But let me tell you something. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which when a man found it, he hid. And for the joy of it, he went and sold all that he had to buy that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls. And when he found that one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. It's worth the price. Becoming a Christian is a complete and total surrender, and it means you die to yourself and you put on Christ. And that is what you are signing up for. That's what we signed up for. And we signed the dotted line because the very idea that God would embrace us, that Jesus would embrace us and invite us to be a part of God's family, is that valuable to us. It's that beautiful to us, and we gladly give up everything else. Because if you lived long enough, if you've experienced enough, and you don't have to be advanced in years to know this, you might be a very young person and have been through enough garbage in life to have wise eyes and see the beauty of the gospel and that what God is offering to give you and bring to you, you already recognize there's nothing more valuable There's no present under the Christmas tree. There's no amount of money in the bank account. There's no number of cars in the garage. There's no title on your business card. Nothing is worth striving after or more fulfilling than being attached to Christ. And in addition to surrender, and this is really what I'm getting at this morning, being crucified with Christ also means you're signing up for adversity. And even persecution. What are we willing to do for Christ? The man who found the treasure or the pearl, he was willing to go and sell everything he had. There was a sacrifice, a great sacrifice on his part to obtain that treasure. Are we willing to do anything for Christ? Even suffer for our attachment to him? Jesus said this in John 15, if the world hates you, and it will, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world will hate you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they have persecuted me, they will persecute you. Make no mistake about it. Even in the United States, there are people who are not just contrary or disbelieving of Christianity, but they are actively engaged in making sure everyone knows that it's foolish and you're foolish for being a part of it. You and I, thank God, in today's day and in this country, we're not fed to the lions. We're not burned at the stake. Our children are not dragged into horrible places. But there is still a level of shaming that goes on that doesn't feel so good. It does not feel so good. And the temptation is great to be a little distant or to water down the message just a little, make it a little more palatable. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. However, Jesus also said this in Luke chapter 6. Blessed are you when they hate you. And when they exclude you, you will be excluded. And when they reject you and revile you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake, for my sake, rejoice in that day, Jesus says. Rejoice in that day, even leap for joy, for indeed your reward in heaven is great. This is not some sick, masochistic desire to be beat up. It is, however, a mindset that says, I am attaching myself to Jesus Christ. And if you put me in a room with 1,000 haters of Jesus Christ, and someone says, who here believes that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? You and I, we will say, I do. I do. These 999 don't, but I do. Now you're going to eat lunch by yourself that day. Those folks aren't going to do anything to help you. They don't care about you. They just think you're some fool that believes in Santa Claus, unicorns, and rainbows with a pot of gold at the other end. We do have it pretty good in this country. And in many countries, Christians are risking their lives every day. It doesn't always make the news when someone gets imprisoned for owning a Bible or It's not always on CNN, Fox News, MSNBC. It doesn't always make the big channel when people are executed for being Christians. But here's the funny thing. Those places where those folks are executed, the Christians are boldly proclaiming their Christianity. They are marching down the streets of Muslim countries with signs like this: live as a Christian, die as a Christian, proud to be a Christian. What happens when you have a group of people that aren't afraid of persecution? What happens when you have a group of people that aren't afraid of this? They're not afraid to die. What you have is an unstoppable force of people. Hey, stop proclaiming Christ. What are you going to do, kill me? I'm not afraid to die. That's this mentality. They're not afraid to die. When you have a group of people that aren't afraid to die, you can't stop them. You just can't. Shy of killing them. Being disliked, being rejected, being hurt. You know, Polycarp, the way the story goes, Polycarp was burned at the stake for being a Christian. He was given a chance to renounce Christ and not have to be burned at the stake. Polycarp said, "My Lord has never once denied me. I will not deny him." And the writers of history say, I don't know if this is true or not, but if it is, it's very impressive, that when they brought Polycarp to the stake to burn him, they did not even have to tie him to the stake because they knew he wouldn't move. He wasn't afraid to die. He would not even move. This is just a burn chart of, or a heat map, as they say, of Christian persecution in the world today. Number one on the list is North Korea, worst place to be a Christian. Number two, Afghanistan. Number three, Somalia. Four, Sudan. Five, Pakistan. Number six looks like Eritrea, Libya, Iraq, Yemen, Iran, India, Saudi Arabia, Malaysia, Nigeria, Syria, Uzbekistan, Egypt, and the list goes on and on. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 40, we're told that when they had called for the apostles and had beaten them, they commanded them that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. And the next verse says, "And the apostles departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name." You better believe it hurt. They were not giggling while they were... I used to giggle when my mom spanked me. I had to try not to giggle, because if I giggled, then Dad was invited to the party. So I had to try not to giggle. The persecution here was not soft. But to walk out knowing that you suffered that for a reason. It's not like getting in trouble. "Well, that hurt, but I did something wrong." To suffer for Christ, they held their head up high, and it did not deter them, not for one day, from going right back out there and embracing their Christianity. I think we sometimes try to be too sensitive so that we lose sight of the truth. Are we supposed to go out and be obnoxious? No. But in trying to be open-minded in trying to be compassionate, we can, in the process, become cowards with watered down convictions. Our lives and our convictions should be so radically different from the world that we see some backlash. Are we willing to stand up for what we believe, or are we going to be silenced because of the fear of backlash? We typically aren't afraid to share good news, are we? I'm getting married. Or we're going to have a baby. My team won the Super Bowl, the World Series, the whatever. Jesus died for our sins, rose again, and is going to return to judge the world. Are you all ready for that? Well, if we're going to develop, I think, within us a courage and even a joy for dealing with rejection, because unfortunately, the majority will reject your enthusiastic plea or sharing of the gospel. But in order to develop the courage to do it anyway and the joy for dealing with persecution and rejection, the key, I think, is to focus on something Paul drew our attention to, and that is the brevity of this life. This life is so short. And eternity, it's a long time. It's forever and ever and ever. Why are we so afraid of such a short amount of time and trying to be comfortable and avoid discomfort at all costs for this short amount of time? When Jesus says, if you deny me, I'm going to deny you before my Father. You cannot deny me. You can't be a Christian and deny that you even know who I am. We should not only think about the incomparable beauty of heaven, but this time element is important as well. Listen to a few more verses. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8, Paul says, I count all things loss for the excellence of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. I count all things as loss just so that I can know the excellence of knowing who Jesus is. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Paul is writing this with nothing. He has no bank account. He has no storage unit. I have lost all things for the cause of Christ and to be found in him. And then he goes on and he says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. Everything in this world, Paul says, go ahead, get a ledger and add it up. Your home, your cars, your clothes, your jewelry, your college degrees, your fancy titles. Go ahead and add it all up. Just throw the calculator away. I can give you the total. Rubbish. This plus all this plus $1 billion. Rubbish. You still haven't touched the value of belonging to Christ and the incomparable beauty of what awaits for those who belong to Christ. And this subject of suffering and struggle, it's in every book. It's not just a verse here or there. It is in every book of the Bible. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12, Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trials that try you as though some strange thing has happened to you, but rejoice, knowing you are partakers in Christ's suffering. It is not something you should take personal. Being persecuted for being a Christian is not because you're somebody special. It's because Christ is somebody special. We are nothing. The only reason we are even in big trouble with the world is because we're standing next to Jesus. It's not you they hate per se. It is Jesus they hate. And you're wearing his jersey. So you're in trouble with them. But rejoice knowing you are partakers. You've been crucified with Christ. You're up there with Christ. You're partakers of his suffering. And as I mentioned, Romans 8:18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not even worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. Paul said in Philippians 1:29, for to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his name's sake. Well, this isn't the encouragement I was hoping to get today, Jim. But Paul boasted of the church in Thessalonica. He boasted and bragged about them to other congregations for their faith and their endurance through persecution. And he tells them they have been counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which they suffer. He said to young Timothy, endure hardship as a good soldier of Christ. He also said to Timothy, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. 1 John 3:13, do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. Do not be stunned if the world hates you. John was standing there when Jesus said, it hated me first. And then, of course, John says in Revelation 2:10 to a very persecuted audience, be faithful unto death. Even in all of this persecution, be faithful unto death, even to the point of dying, and you will receive the crown of life. I've been crucified with Christ, but it's no longer I who live. It's Christ who lives in me, and when people are persecuting Christ, I'm standing there next to him. I've been crucified with Christ. I'm a partaker in his suffering, and I do it gladly because I know where Christ is taking me. I don't want to be standing over here when Christ returns for his people. Expect persecution and rejection. Expect to struggle and suffer if you're going to be a Christian. I would dare say embrace it is the Bible's message. The Bible might even be saying desire it, because it is evidence and proof to you that you are standing with Christ. And then rejoice in the midst of it, for you've been counted worthy. We've been called to be God's army of people who love him so much that we're unshakable. We're unshakable. You know, the kingdom of God cannot be destroyed. It's eternal, as Daniel prophesied. The kingdom of God is within you, I believe was one of Reuben's recent lessons. Gene led us in a song. It was song 29, All to Jesus I Surrender. And I don't know if you did that on purpose, Gene, but it was the perfect song. Listen to these words. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. All to Jesus I surrender. Humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus. Take me now. All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy love and power. Let thy blessing fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. He also sang a song, number 400. And the last stanza of that song read like this. Because there is this suffering part of take up your cross and follow me. But there is also this put my yoke upon you, for it is light and easy. If you have a proper view of suffering with Christ, you will also be able to say, it is light and easy, though, to go through this life as long as I am yoked to Jesus. Living by faith, verse 3 of stanza 3 of Song 400. I know that he safely will carry me through, no matter what evils betide. Why should I then care, though the tempest may blow, if Jesus walks close to my side? Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in his great love, from all harm safe in his sheltering love, I'm living by faith and feel no alarm. Do not feel alarmed when persecuted for being a Christian. Do not be shocked if that comes upon you because you're stating your belief in Christ and in what is true and in what is right. You don't have to be alarmed. In fact, you can feel safe, because what are they going to do to you? What can man do to me? Can anyone separate me from the love of God which is in Christ? No. The only thing you can do is take my life and send me straight to heaven. That's not happening right now in Southern California that I'm aware of. You're telling me, Jim, I can just see Christ looking at his church saying, you guys can't take a little rejection? Being ostracized by people who don't care or love me at all? You'd rather stand in their company and distance yourself from me than embrace me as I've embraced you? I've been crucified with Christ. If you're ready to become a Christian, my simple question for you is, are you willing to count the cost? The price tag is there, but it's worth every penny. It's worth getting rid of whatever you need to get rid of in your life to make sure you are right with God. Count the cost, and if you're wise, pay the price. Repent of your sins and crucify yourself with Christ to that cross. Dying to self, total surrender to live God's way, to live Christ's way, to be his disciple, to be his learner, to be his follower, following him to the eternal end in heaven. We're going to sing the invitation song. If the church can do anything to serve you, help you, pray for you, won't you come while we stand and sing Nothing But the Blood?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon this I see. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this my plea. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone. nothing but the blood of Jesus, not of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. You please turn your songbooks to number 247. This will be our closing song. Afterwards, our brother Reuben will come up and let us know if any visitors have gave us any cards, and will lead us in a final prayer. Here we are, but straying pilgrims, number 247. Here we are, but straying pilgrims, here our path is often dim. But to cheer us on our journey, still we sing this wayside hymn. Yonder over the rolling river, where the shining mansions rise, soon will be our home forever, and the smile of the blessed giver gladdens all our longing eyes. Here our feet are often weary, on the hills that throng our way. Here the tempest darkly gathers, but our hearts within us say, yonder over the rolling river, where the shining mansions rise, soon will be our home forever, and the smile of the blessed giver gladdens all our longing eyes. Here our souls are often fearful of the pilgrim's lurking foe, but the Lord is our defender, and he tells us we may know. Yonder over the rolling river, where the shining mansions rise, soon will be our home forever, and the smile of the blessed giver gladdens all our longing eyes.
Thank you, Jim, for that lesson, reminding us of the cost of discipleship. Make sure you join me in saying thank you and your words of appreciation to Jim. Raquel asked for prayers for the DiMaglio family who have lost their son. That's the DiMaglio family. And I received a note, unsigned, that I just want to read. God created the bright and beautiful only sun that shines upon each of us from way up high. God sent his only, one and only begotten Son, Jesus, who shines upon us, to all those who believe in him, to allow Jesus to live and shine brightly within us as we truly believe and live each and every day for Jesus. For Jesus sent us the Holy Spirit to help us live for Jesus every day. The Son is true light upon us. Jesus is true light within us. We live under the sun as we live in Christ. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we are so grateful for allowing us this time to worship you today. We pray that the songs we sang were truly expressions of our love for you. Thank you for the lesson, which is a reminder that we should build up our faith, not just a belief in you, but a belief that you answer our prayers and fulfill the promises that you have given us. help us to build our faith and allow it to be more strong as we face the trials and challenges of being a Christian. Not only do we ask that you build up our faith, but also to give us the courage and also the joy to proclaim your word and to teach the story of Jesus even in the midst of opposition and discouragement. Thank you for loving us and blessing us. In Jesus' name, amen.